Hey guys, I'm good. Paul, Murph, I think we had our college teams are in the same venue yesterday. So a couple of wins for the Missouri Tigers and UCLA Bruins. A good start to the tournament.
We need to get into this Missouri Tiger mafia that goes A, Nick Wagner, B, our digital god, Sam Huestis.
Smiling Sammy.
C, don't A, the man with the hottest takes of them all, Big Kurtenbach, Big D Kurtenbach. Missouri Tiger.
No kidding.
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Paulie, young, handsome Joe, the Bowie lookalike.
Yeah.
Missouri Tiger.
Well, and then there's some of the great Niners we've seen, right? Justin Smith, right? And Alden
Eric
Smith.
Eric Wright.
Yeah, yeah. Isn't right. Alden yeah. Smith also Missouri?
Alden, yeah. Justin, and yeah. E. Wright. Yeah.
A quick little aside on that topic. When I was a freshman at Mizzou, my work-study job was working in the weight room with the football team. So I would, like, help spot, and then I would – basically clean up after them, get water, you know, that kind of stuff. And Justin Smith was a senior at the time, and I was in the room and helping spot, really just getting out of his way when he set the squat record at Mizzou, which was some absurd, whoa, like 600-700 pounds. Like one of those things where the bar was like bending, you know, just on its own because yeah, there was that much weight on it.
Yeah.
They called him Godzilla, and I think he was cowboy here, but Godzilla was his nickname in college. He was just unbelievable.
That is awesome, man. That is one. I mean, Justin Smith weight room stories from Missouri, 808 KMBR. Hey, hey, we should tell everybody why it's a great journalism program, right? I mean, were you pleased with the look at the education? It got you on the Murph and Mac show.
Ah, look.
Right, and that's the goal that we all strive for when we enter college. Absolutely, yeah. No, you call it the Missouri Mafia, and that is what it's known as. There is Mizzou journalists all over the country. It's one of the few places you can go and get on-the-job training. Like for me, for example, they have the morning paper in Columbia is actually student-run. It's not the student paper. It's the city of Columbia's paper, and students are the reporters there. So just to kind of give you an idea of the real-world experience you get.
That is awesome. Now, how's Columbia as a college town? Like straight up, like, give it to me. Is it just an awesome hidden gem or a total truck stop cow pasture?
I go awesome hidden gem, and I would be honest about that, guys. I was born in Champaign Urbana, which is home of the University of Illinois, and I am not a fan of that town. But I think Columbia is just really, you know, it's kind of perfectly situated between Kansas City and St. Louis, and a lot of great restaurants and a cool, very walkable downtown. It's all right there next to campus. It's pretty strong as college towns go.
Shout out to University of Missouri. Now, will you be there Saturday at Golden One?
My plan is to try to get up there. I wasn't able to go yesterday just because, you know, free agency stuff. I wasn't sure if it was going to settle down. Thankfully, I didn't go because we had Zoom calls and things like that yesterday. But I'm going to try to get up there tomorrow. I was looking forward to seeing Mizzou try to knock off Arizona, but it's going to be a battle of the Tigers. Got Princeton instead.
I mean, you don't want to count those chickens, buddy, but you could be looking at a Definitely. Sweet 16, dude. You could be looking at a Sweet 16. What do you think?
It would be nice. It's been a long, long torturous process at Mizzou to get back to being, being in the mix in the NCAA tournament again. It's a little bit house money, but yeah, we'll take our chance.
I mean, Paulie, let's be honest. They're still licking their wounds from Tyus Edney, 1995. Wow. I think we sent you guys into about a 30-year tailspin, didn't we?
Well, I can tell you, I didn't care about Mizzou because I was in Illinois. My parents both went to Illinois, so I didn't even. I was actually laughing when Tyus Edney did that.
Wow.
It's not as funny now that I went to Mizzou, but it did set them back. I think certainly the last 10 years. I think yesterday was their first tournament win in like 13 years or something like that.
So. Go Tigers, go! And Sammy Huestis will be. It's Tigers versus Tigers, by the way, Princeton, Missouri. So. Fun stuff, man. All right. I didn't know you were a Champaign Urbana guy. All right. No, you turned your nose up at the Mighty Illini?
It was the journalism program. But but the easy thing for me was my sister did it first. My sister went to Mizzou first, and so it kind of paved the path where my parents were just kind of resigned to the fact that we were going to do whatever we want at that point. So
yeah, you guys have not been – I'm looking at you guys won a game in 2012 but lost the next round. No, I'm sorry. You got bounced in the first round. Jeez, the last time you guys won a game was 2010. And in 2009, you guys made the Elite Eight. That'd be the high watermark. 2009.
Well, you know, 2012 was the year they were a 2 seed and lost to Norfolk State. That was a devastating one because they were really good that year. And suffered the same fate as Arizona yesterday, which I'm sure you weren't too upset about.
But I'm telling you guys, because if you look under the Norm Stewart days, you guys Sweet 16, and you guys were in the tourney all the time, Elite Eight, and then literally 95 after the. after the Tyus Edney bucket, you guys go into a dark era. Tyus Edney ruined you guys. That's really funny. I didn't know that. I was kind of joking about it, but it's actually kind of true. All right, what did we learn yesterday from meeting Javon Hargrave and Sam Darnold? What was your biggest takeaway?
Yeah, the first thing I think on Hargrave, it's actually the very first thing is it's Javon, just for people keeping track at home. It's Javon Hargrave,
and
not Javon like Kinlaw, so it's a little different. But I think the most interesting thing he said, he was very honest, is he kind of went into free agency thinking, like, this is going to be my biggest, probably last big chance to get a massive contract, and I'm probably going to have to go to a rebuilding place, because usually it's more rebuilding teams that are willing to spend that kind of money, especially on at his position. And he was blown away by the fact that the Niners were in as heavily as they were right off the bat. And then at that point, it became a no-brainer, where he just said the Niners had kind of the best of both worlds, where it's a competitive team, obviously very defensive line friendly, but they're also giving him the contract that he wants. And he did acknowledge, I asked him, I said, did you have other teams that offered a little bit more money? And he said, yeah. And I know I've heard through sources that Cleveland was one of the teams that came in really strong that tried to pay him more than what the Niners did. And at the end of the day, he just wanted, you know, kind of the best situation with the contract. And I appreciated his honesty. You know, money was clearly a big motivating factor. Sometimes guys kind of shy away from that. But I think he got the best of both worlds here. And so, a great fit, obviously, for the 49ers. I think that was something that they really missed last year, was interior pressure, somebody who can take some of the heat off of Nick Bosa, but who can also take advantage when Nick Bosa gets extra attention.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show. Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville? Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Well, let's see. Good for my career. Sent me to rehab, though. So that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
And I mean, and we're talking to Nick Wagner of ESPN, proud Missouri Tiger, ready for the round of 32 up in Sacramento. But I mean, it's just, it's kind of obvious, right? Do we just say it? This is an apology letter to DeForest Buckner and an admission of the Javon Kinlaw mistake.
That still smarts that one. Yeah,
I think so. It was like one of the first things I tweeted after it kind of happened, was this is a tacit acknowledgement that they messed it up. And you can tie the two moves together, trading Buckner and drafting Kinlaw. Kinlaw obviously has not worked out. There's still, you know, time for him, but the clock is definitely ticking. This is, you know, they're going to have to make a decision on his fifth year option this year, this offseason. That's probably not going to happen, which means this is probably the last year of his contract with the 49ers. So he's got a lot of proving to do. But yeah, I think the other thing that's important to remember in that conversation, though, guys, is it's so easy to sit here and say, yeah, they should have paid DeForest Buckner. If they can pay Javon Hargrave, why couldn't they have paid DeForest Buckner? They're in very different situations cap-wise. And really, the quarterback thing, and we could get it, I know we'll get into that in a minute, I'm sure, but it ties back together. If you look at the investment, if just cap-wise, the 49ers have into Sam Darnold, Trey Lance, and Brock Purdy, it's less than $15 million combined. At the time, Jimmy Garoppolo was, you know, $24, $25, $26 million against the cap. And so that type of investment, not investing so heavily in a quarterback right now, opens them an opportunity to make a move like that.
Wow, we're talking to Nick Wagner of ESPN, and Javon Hargrave met the media yesterday. The other guy who met the media was Sam Darnold. Paulie and I were sitting there earlier this morning saying, yeah, QB3, right? Or
well,
not.
Or not, yeah, right.
Is there a storyline open going into the summer that Sam Darnold could climb the ladder?
Wow.
Well, I mean, it's really interesting, guys, because as we sit here right now, if you just look at a depth chart,
yep,
he would be number three. But he actually would be number one just because of where we are right now. And I'm talking about the injury factor. Brock Purdy isn't going to be back for a while. We already know that. That's going to go into, you know, late August, early September, most likely, barring any setbacks or changes. And Trey Lance still isn't fully back yet. So you don't know exactly where he is. I mean, if the Niners had a practice tomorrow, let's say, Sam Darnold is the only healthy quarterback on the roster, right?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
And that's what it's a fascinating conversation because people keep saying, boy, that's a lot of money for a number three quarterback. And it's like, well, he's a number three who could be a number two, who could also be a number one. And that's the kind of insulation that they're trying to give themselves. And, you know, yesterday, Eric Branch and myself were trying to kind of just probe a little bit to see what he had been told, what he expected his role to be, what he was told his role was going to be. And he didn't really seem to know. He did acknowledge, of course, that there's some uncertainty ahead of him, and he wants to compete, and he wants to win, and, you know, kind of saying all the right things. But I think he doesn't know because nobody knows. So I think there's an opportunity here for him certainly to, you know, establish himself and put himself in a position where if he has to play, it's a good thing. And I compare it, guys, to a couple of years ago when Mitchell Trubisky signed in Buffalo. Mm. He signed a one-year deal. He had been in a really bad situation in Chicago. He really struggled. And the Bills, of course, were like, you know, hoping that he doesn't have to play. But if he did, it was the best situation he'd ever been in, right? And he didn't play, but it still kind of helped his value just by going to a better place where he could learn an offense and be surrounded by good players and things like that. And he got a decent contract from the Steelers last offseason. And I think this is for Sam Darnold kind of a way of hitting the reset button. And he did talk about that yesterday, saying this is really something I want to put myself in a good situation. And so I think it's a win-win for both sides, right? Because if Darnold has to play, he's in the best position he's ever been in to have success, and he can go back to the market next year and probably get a decent deal out of it if he does. And if he doesn't play, I think that's okay too. Obviously, that's what the Niners are hoping for, is that Brock Purdy's healthy and that he can play. But if not, if Sam Darnold doesn't play, you know, that just being here, having the chance to play for Kyle Shanahan and kind of be and see what it's like to be with a good franchise to understand what it takes to win can kind of help him reset his mind for what comes next after this.
I mean, I wonder, could, you know, the Jets and the Panthers is such bad stuff, although he finished 4-2 with the Panthers, right?
He started playing better.
I'm like, is there something there?
I kind of feel like there could be, Nick. I feel like there's potential here
for move a little bit, right?
Yeah.
I think so. And I think that's when you kind of are comparing what the options were, right? Like, you could go get an Andy Dalton and you know what you're going to get. But that's probably not quite enough for a team like this, where you would want to have at least a little bit of upside left in there. And Sam Darnold has started 55 games in the NFL, guys, which is a lot of games, but hasn't had much success. And it's hard. It's always hard to gauge, and you guys know this, but it's so important the situation you go into. And so many of these quarterbacks come into the league, and they're getting drafted in the top 3 to 5. And that inherently means, more often than not, you're going to a bad team. And usually bad teams are bad situations and bad franchises that don't necessarily know what they're doing. So I think that the Niners will look at Darnold as, okay, we know what we're getting. At least this is an experienced guy. But there's still that little bit of upside that makes you wonder, what if we put him in our system and he learns from Kyle Shanahan and Brian Greasy and he's surrounded by these types of weapons, then maybe there's a little bit more that he can squeeze out of him if he has to play.
I mean, okay. Let's, you know, I mean, listen, Brock Purdy. Nobody was counting. We weren't talking about him a year ago, and we'll see what happens, man. Next up on their agenda, as we let you go, Nick, here, what do you expect? I mean, the mass exodus on defense, obviously all those names, Omenihu, Ebukam, Mosley, Alshire, do they add Isaiah Oliver, you know? I don't know. What's the next on the shopping list, you think?
Yeah, I think it's going to be just kind of some, you know, kind of bargain shopping at this point. You know, there's still a couple things they could do if they really found somebody's out there whose price dropped that they wanted to extend themselves a little bit. They could, you know, do a restructure with a Christian McCaffrey or something like that to create cap space. But I think they're more going to lean more into, you know, is there bargains to be had? Another pass rusher on the edge, I think, would be something that they would be looking at. Maybe that just means bringing back to Jordan Willis and or Kerry Hyder. Depth of the secondary, I think, still something they need. They need another safety. I think in their ideal world, they bring Tayshaun Gibson back on this one-year deal. And in an ideal world, you can draft somebody who would maybe sit for a year behind Gibson and step in, kind of like Hufanga did for Jaquaski Tart last year, something like that, where there's a little bit of a succession plan that you put into place. And then the offensive line, you know, they're going to have to, I think, throw resources at that. I don't necessarily know that there's one answer that they can get at the price that they can afford at this point. So I would expect them to make multiple attempts, you know, whether that's the draft or adding another vet in free agency, who could give them, you know, a shot possibly of starting at right tackle, but if nothing else, offer some depth and potentially play multiple positions along the line. Those are kind of the primary things that I think still are on their shopping list and the things that will get done here. And they still have 11 draft picks, guys. So I don't necessarily expect them to make 11 draft picks. I think they'll probably do a little bit of moving around, but they're going to be able to fill a lot of holes in the draft too.
All right, Nick, it's always good talking to you and catching up, man. And it's interesting already, and it'll continue to be interesting as Brock Purdy's by the way, last thing we did, was there any news other than what the official statement was on Purdy?
On Purdy, no. I think everything is, you know, like I said, like it was reported that it was just the repair. It was what they were hoping for. I think they feel a little bit relieved. I could hear the sigh of relief from my apartment on Friday coming from Santa Clara that it was the repair. So as far as I know, everything is, you know, just getting started in terms of him getting back on track and working towards that, you know, once he gets past 3 months, being able to throw and all those kinds of things.
Great stuff, Nick. We'll continue to read you on ESPN.com like a proud Missouri Tiger you are. Good luck on Saturday,
thank you, Nick.
All right?
Yeah. You got it, guys. Take care. Have a good St. Patrick's Day.
All see you, man.
Right,
you
there
too.
He is. All right, we finished the day with Monty Poole talking Warriors on the Sports Leader.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next correction, Richie, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.